This week, we'll discuss safety concerns at the Transportation Security Administration with AFGE Local 1230 President James Mudrock. We'll also be joined by Professor Jeffrey Hilgert, author of Hazard or Hardship, Crafting Global Norms on the Right to Refuse Unsafe Work. But first, we've been joined by AFGE VA Local 2425 Secretary Treasurer Lydeen Mitchell. Lydeen, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Talk to me about what is happening at your facility with Local 2425.
Well, actually, I've been in AFGE Local 2425 for about, this is, I believe, my 11th year. We're actually under new management. We have a new president who just came in office about, this is his second year. Although this is not my second year, this is my 11th year. So basically what I'm doing is I'm doing my job, but I'm also helping him because this is also new to him. And we're faced with new problems because the previous president, you know, they had their issues, but we are not doing the things the same way that he did things. I mean, she did things. So we're actually up against management. We're fighting them very hard.
What are some of those issues that you're taking to management's desk?
Some of the issues are the old contract. You know, some of the managers are basically using the old contract. They're not really familiar with the new contract, and they're going by past practice of things that happened before. And so when we bring problems to them, they're saying that, well, you know, this has never happened before. Okay, yes, it hasn't happened before, you know. In the old contract, you didn't have to have voicemail, but, you know, now in the new, 2011, we have voicemail. So, you know, those are some of the issues that we're having. We're fighting the old contract against the new contract.
Do you think that management will one day come around to recognizing the new contract? And why do you think that hasn't happened so far?
I don't think they're going to recognize the new contract. I do a lot of research, and I like to, instead of going to my master agreement, I like to look at it online. And one day I Googled the master agreement and I came up with the manager's guide to the master agreement. And I didn't know that exists. So now they have a guide to have, it's the manager's guide to understand the master agreement. So they have their master agreement and we have our master agreement, the way we understand it and the way they understand it.
Shouldn't that be one document?
Yes, it should be one document.
So why isn't that the case?
Well, I don't know why that's the case, and I don't know why that exists, but it does.
So what do you think can be done to fix this problem? Is it something that you have to negotiate over? Or
yes, it has to be negotiated. We have to come to a middle. We have to both be on the same page.
Lydeen, what do you think are some of the biggest challenges that the workers face at the worksite every day?
One of the challenges that they face, and I'm always the first partaker, is upward mobility. There is no upward mobility that I see. I've been in the VA government, next week will be 29 years. I sent myself back to school and got an associate degree, a bachelor's degree, and a master's degree. I've been trying for this is my fourth year of getting a job, and I've been shot down each time.
Why is that?
It's always you're qualified, but you're not selected. I have my master's in social work. I want to work as a social worker. I do not want to work as a next grade. I could have done that years ago. I want to work for my degree, what I got my degree in. I also find that out in the private sector, when you get a degree, you know, you get some kind of compensation or you get promoted or something like that. In the government, your education means absolutely nothing. It's very frustrating. And it's also frustrating when I have to be a union person and I have to encourage someone else, like, you know, keep going, you know, education is going to go, you know, further, but I haven't gone further. But, you know, I'm telling you that, you know, just keep trying, you know, it's very frustrating.
Do you think there's something that can be done to fix that?
I hope there is something that can be done to fix that. Because there are many people who, you know, they come in, they get their foot in the door, but they don't want to stay in that position. Someone might come in as a housekeeper, that's just to get into federal government, and then they want to move to another position. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're a housekeeper. They just took that job because that job was open. But now they want to do something else, and they're being told, no, you can't do that, you know. Oh, you're not qualified. And some of them, I find people, they have all kinds of degrees, all kinds of certifications. But, you know, they're doing more hiring from the outside. They're not looking within. Most of the people, and I do new employee orientation, these are people that are coming in from the outside.
Does that impact morale with the current employees?
Yes, it does. The morale, there is no morale, okay? A defibrillator couldn't boost this morale.
So why do you work for the federal government?
In the beginning, I started out, I came from a temp service, and I was just basically looking for a job. I got in the federal government, and I said, you know, I will only be here a minute. And I turned around, and it's almost 29 years.
29 years later.
Yes. There's fulfillment in the federal government. There's fulfillment in serving the veterans. When I did my internship, in the OIEF department, and I worked very closely with the veterans. And so I got a chance to hear their story. A lot of times we see people and we don't know their story. We think they're just veterans coming in and, you know, it's just a patient, and we don't know these patients. We don't know that they went to war, they went to Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. We don't know that. All we see is, you know, that's Mr. Jones. He's been coming here for 20 years. You know, he got the same old story. But when I got to work with them and listen to them and listen to their story, it's their story. And to us, it happened 20 years ago, but to them, it happened yesterday. So it gave me a different outlook on the veteran. Their yesterday is their today. So it gave me a compassion for the veteran and to serve the veteran and to thank them for their service, because if it had not been for the veteran, you know, serving us and protecting our country, then we wouldn't be where we are today. So that's why I do what I do.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, and we're here with Lydeen Mitchell, Secretary Treasurer with AFGE's VA Local 2425 out of East Orange, New Jersey. Lydeen, talk to me about the gratification and the satisfaction that you get serving our nation's veterans.
The satisfaction I get is helping a veteran. A lot of times the veterans come into the hospital and they are frustrated. Number one, we have valet parking. And it takes them about an hour to get into the hospital to park their car. Once they get in, they're kind of frustrated about the appointment they have to go to or where they need to go, or they don't know. A lot of times I'm in the hallway and I see someone who's just kind of spinning around. They don't know where they're going. And I actually take them to where they need to go. I have a funny story. I dropped my car off at a mechanic. And I was at the bus stop, which I normally don't take the bus, but just this happened today. I was at the bus stop, and there was a gentleman there who had like these big suitcases, and he was calling the hospital, telling them that he was going to be late. And I was kind of listening, you know, half listening, because like I said, I was in a neighborhood, you know, and I was just, you know, being aware of my surroundings. And so I turned to him. So when the bus came, a few buses came, and he let them go by. So that let me know we were waiting on the same bus. And there's only one bus that goes to the VA hospital. So then when he made the phone call, I said, he must be going to the VA hospital. So when the bus came, he asked the bus driver, does this bus go to Lyons? Now, Lyons, New Jersey is our other VA, but it's not in East Orange. It's in Lyons, New Jersey, and it's a ways away, and there's no bus that can go there. You have to go to East Orange to go to Lyons. So I said to him, no, you have to get on this bus to go to East Orange and get a shuttle, and it'll take you to Lyons. So he's holding the bus up, and the bus driver's ready to go. And I said, look, just get on the bus. Just get on the bus. So while we're on the bus, I said, no, he didn't know. And then I found out later that he was coming from Baltimore. So he didn't know anything about New Jersey. So I said, listen, I got my cell phone out. I called the travel department. I said, listen, I'm coming on the bus. I'm bringing in a gentleman. He needs a shuttle pass to go to Lyons. They said, oh, well, no, he has to go to outpatient social work, and she has to give him a ticket. So I said, okay. So I said, listen, we're going to come in. We're going to go to the seventh floor. I'm going to get you a shuttle pass, and you're going to get on the shuttle. He still doesn't know anything, you know, so he's just following me around. So we get up to the seventh floor. Nobody's available. So I look and I find the social worker, and the social worker takes him get him a ticket. And I said, okay, I'm going to take you back downstairs to the lobby, and then there you're going to wait for the shuttle. Now, you know, we've had all this snow and everything, so everybody's sitting in the lobby. Now the shuttle comes up. If nobody's outside, they pull off. So I said, you know, I tell you what, you stay inside and I'll stay outside. So when the shuttle come, I'll make sure you get on it. So when the shuttle finally made it through valet parking, and they came, and I said, wait, there's a gentleman coming. They said, well, he better come on because I'm running late. I said, listen, it's not his fault. He doesn't know. You know, he's from out of town. You know, just wait. So I ran inside, and I got the gentleman, and I got him on the shuttle, and he went to Lyons.
Lydeen, this sounds like this is much more than just a job for you.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So what's next for you in 2014?
In 2014, I mean, like I said, I do have my degree. I can move on. I like doing union work, because if I get my degree, I work for the non-professionals. So if I get a degree, if I get a job, I will be working for the professionals. And at our agency, we have two locals. We have the professional local and the non-professional local, which means I would have to give up AFGE. And I'm kind of not ready to do that yet.
AFGE is a part of your life.
Yes, it is. It has been for the past 11 years, and I've seen there's many challenges. So I still believe there's work to be done. You know, I believe in passing the torch. I do have a young man in my local, Sharon Jenkins, who is a young AFGE, and I want to pass the torch over to the young people.
How important is it to have those young people waiting to take over and move the union movement forward?
It's very important because there are a lot of young people that are, they have great ideas, they're ready to move, and we just need to pass the torch. There are a lot of people who don't want to pass the torch. They don't believe in giving it to the young people. They believe they're going to mess up this country, but I strongly believe that the young people are ready.
Lydeen, as we close out here today, what are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are that we can move this union forward. There are a lot of ideas. I was in a training where I heard that AFGE was 9 in the United States, and I want to move us up to up there where the teachers union is at. There, I believe they're second, you know, so I believe I want to move AFGE up to number one.
Lydeen Mitchell, Secretary Treasurer for AFGE's VA Local 2425 in East Orange, New Jersey. Lydeen, thank you so much for coming by
today. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. Up next, we'll discuss safety concerns at the Transportation Security Administration with AFGE Local 1230 President James Mudrock.